welcome you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven after having a week off because Tara likes to gallivant around and go to, you know, beach locales without us. We're back. I'm Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70. And with me is the world traveler, Tara Wellman, from Bird Seeds, Birds on the Black, and at Tara Wellman on Twitter. And Tara, we watched the Cardinals. Well, we didn't. You were busy. But I watched some of the Cardinal game today. We watched them in general finish up this run against really good teams by getting blasted by the Giants. I think I saw on Fox Sports West that counting today's loss, they went 10-13 in this stretch against above 500 teams. Now that we've gotten to the end of that run that we've been talking about for so long, about what this might tell us something about the Cardinals, does it tell us anything about the Cardinals?
I think we've been asking that question for the last three seasons, and we still don't have the answers that really tell us anything about the Cardinals, which might actually in and of itself be the answer. I mean, if you've been trying to find answers for 3 years and you're still not finding answers, then maybe you need to start asking different questions. And I think that's where a lot of people are with this team, including evidently the front office and their approach to how to handle a team that once again isn't good, but they're also not really that bad, which is in some cases enough for an organization. But I think the expectation in St. Louis is it's certainly higher than that, especially after missing a couple of years in a row of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's it is pretty telling. And I think what it tells us is this is a middling team, a team that can play with anybody on a given night, but overall can play down to anybody on a given night, yeah, too, I guess. I mean, again, we saw this run against 500 teams, preceded by very bad outings against not so good teams. So, I don't know. It does continue to feel like this is just kind of spiraling into a lost season, and a season that's not necessarily worth investing in here in this month of trades. The Cardinals now sit 7.5 behind the Brewers, 4 back in the wild card, and that's, you know, that's not insurmountable, but there's nothing on this team that skins to see that makes you think that there's that kick. That's what's going to get them going. This is where they're going to come together. Because early in the year, it was like, man, if the bullpen could pitch well. Well, the bullpen's been pitching pretty well today, excepted, you know, if the offense could ever get going. Well, they scored 8 runs today or whatever. If the starting pitching can hold up, and for the most part, it has. But none of those pieces have come together to the point that you think this team is going to make this run. So, if you're John Mozeliak, besides the fact that you want to talk about your right fielder, what do you do over the next few days? Do you buy? Do you sell? Do you just kind of sit there and look at everybody?
Yeah. Well, I think, and again, this isn't new. This is the same conversation we've been having. And, you know, of all the things that John Mozeliak picks up when he listens to this show, this is the one he still hasn't figured out. No, and truthfully, I don't know if it's really his decision to make, because I think this organization as a whole has to sort of figure out where it's going, because if they're content with getting people through the gates because that's what Cardinals fans do, then they maybe don't have to make a dramatic change. But if they want their brand, if you will, to be associated with the highest quality product that they can create, then they've got to do something with this team. Now, I think there are plenty of arguments to be made on both sides about whether or not this particular team can get enough better to invest in significantly this year, or if you sort of just start making changes to set yourself up for a season from now. But that's not that's not, excuse the term, the Cardinal way either, at least not in the last, you know, couple decades, where this team has been able to remain competitive while setting itself up for success down the road. It seems like they're at a bit of a crossroads where they have to, for the first time in a long time, pick one or the other and make some pretty significant decisions based on whatever that choice is. Now, I think the obvious choice that most fans want to see happen is directly related to Mike Matheny. You know, whether that's enough to make a significant difference or not, I don't know. I think it's really hard to make that judgment call, but I do think it's becoming more and more clear that he's not quite the glue that's holding this team together like we sort of anticipated he might be from the beginning of his career. So you know, there are a lot of players underperforming. There are a lot of players who are sort of just stagnating in at a level that isn't really helpful when you don't have the big production from your core guys. But you also have a manager who doesn't seem to be able to push the right buttons to get a little bit more, to get a little bit better out of this team. And he can say they're going to be better all they want, but he's been saying that for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And they've progressively gotten worse. So, you know, make what you will of that, but I think that John Mozeliak and company and you know, even the ownership has to take a serious look at what they want Cardinals baseball to be as a whole, as a complete product, you know, and maybe that's where they get some of those answers from.
Yeah, it was, when you say that, it reminds me, I think I just saw on my Facebook memories that I had a post about 2 years ago within the last few days that was titled with a quote, we have to play better baseball. And I think that was from Matheny. It was either from Matheny or Mozeliak. And it was like, at the time, it's like, okay, great. How? When? You know, and that's the thing is we tend to still get the cliches of we're going to do this. We're going to be better. We're going to, you know, fight through this. Well, that's great and that's wonderful to say, but you know, it does. We need to see evidence of that at some point in time. I mean, this is a team that plays in Missouri. This is the show me state. You got to show them eventually, and so far, that hasn't seemed to happen. So, you know, I kind of looked it up. Of course, the Cardinals have been very stable in the managerial ranks. You know, Tony La Russa left on his own accord after being there for what, almost 15 years. You know, Joe Torre was then before that, and Joe Torre was fired about June. Of course, then before you go back to Whitey Herzog, who resigned in the middle of the year. But usually, this doesn't, you know, there's not a whole lot of transition, but there is precedence for a manager being removed at the middle of the year with Torre. Of course, that was a different ownership group. It's really hard for me to believe that the Cardinals, the way they're constructed now, would do that. Mm-hmm. But I also think that, as we've seen, things are not the way that we usually associate with the Cardinals. And so it very well may be that the Cardinals, if only to curry favor with the fan base, because look, there are a lot of people that want to see Mike Matheny fired. There are a lot of people that don't care. I don't know if there's a lot of people that are just passionately enamored with Mike Matheny after 7 years. I mean, again, they may like him. They may not think that he deserves to be fired. But if he gets fired, they're not going to, you know, grab their torches and pitchforks and head down to Busch Stadium. I think the people that are very adamant about Matheny being fired are very close to that. And so it may be that, you know, if only to curry favor and to show that they're serious about making changes, that they will do something like that. Because when you start looking at this roster, it becomes harder and harder to see how they can make any kind of significant move that makes some sort of impact. I think that, you know, you could look at a Jose Martinez trade, and that may change the dynamic of things, but you're also removing one of your best hitters. Other than that, you'd have to probably bring somebody in, and paying the price for that, maybe not what they want to do either. So, you know, again, like you said, we've kind of been spinning circles here for the last 2 or 3 years. It's about time for them to figure out that direction. But wasn't that our theme from last year? Well, every week we said pick a direction.
Mm-hmm.
They still haven't done it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's been interesting watching the maybe minimal changes that they've made over the last couple of years, where you think, oh, okay, maybe this is the direction they're trying to go. But it's almost like they just try to test the water a little bit rather than just going all in. And that's certainly the safe way to do something. There's certainly some convenience to, you know, knowing that you always have this fan base that is St. Louis Cardinals baseball, and that, you know, for better or worse, so many of them are still going to be there. It must be nice to not have to worry about your customer base to a certain extent. But you know, I would also like to think that they are concerned about, you know, the actual baseball, not just, right, not just the business model. And I think at some point the baseball, it has to be included to make that business model sustainable. You know, as far as players and their role in it, we often like to point fingers at the managers or the coaches or the front office staff. Ultimately, it is the players that play. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do think, much like I have the last few years, this roster still leaves a little bit to be desired as far as, you know, a roster that you look at and go, wow, this is a team that's going to be competitive. Not that the names necessarily make a difference, but just the way that the roster is constructed. It's funny, sort of transitioning a little bit to those players away from the whole baseball as a business thing. It's funny that you mentioned Jose Martinez, and there's been in this last week a bit of a transition as far as his role with this team. And I found it really interesting reading about that, because obviously he's hit his way into the lineup since the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. But if you recall, we had this conversation about Jose Martinez and where he fit and how he would play every day and how they'd get his bat in the lineup a lot before the season started, before Jed Jerko was hurt. So, you know, there was always going to be this almost impossible infield mix when everyone was healthy. They're just, for a significant amount of time, everyone wasn't healthy, and that sort of answered the questions for us. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting now seeing the hoops they're trying to jump through to find a way to take advantage of his offense while not costing themselves with his defense. And in doing so, quite honestly, putting other guys in better positions defensively as well. We've talked about Matt Carpenter and how much better he is at first base. And we've talked about, you know, the quality that Jed Jerko brings as a third baseman and all of those things. So, it's a question that's come back up in the last week, but it's not really a new question as far as Jose Martinez and where he fits in either. So once again, this is a team that has a roster of sort of misfit toys, mm-hmm. that don't necessarily lend themselves to getting the best out of every one of those guys on any given day, especially with a manager who's not necessarily great at mixing and matching.
You know, it's very interesting that this week, or this weekend, I guess, Mike Matheny comes out saying that he's, you know, they're having basically a defense initiative, that I guess this idea that, hey, maybe we should play defense, and they're putting, you know, that was what we saw this week, or this weekend, especially in a ballpark like, AT&T Park, and you had Harrison Bader out there for 3 of the 4 games, out and right, you had, you know, Matt Carpenter play first most of the time. You had Jose Martinez sit on the bench for 2 days because there wasn't a place to put him. It is very interesting to me, as we kind of shift into maybe some of the other off-the-field talk for this week, that we see Jose Martinez moving to right field again, possibly to do less damage, but also creating more of a problem because you do have Harrison Bader out there, but then you also have Dexter Fowler, who may be person non grata in the whole organization, but still is getting paid a lot of money to play right field. Technically, he was getting a lot of money to play center field, but that didn't happen either. So, after John Mozeliak's comments this week, and if you haven't heard John Mozeliak's discussion about Dexter Fowler this week, I'm really not sure how you found this podcast because it's pretty much been everywhere over the last week. But, you know, to recap, John Mozeliak said some things that appeared to question Dexter Fowler's effort and how he's playing and things of that nature. Whether Mo meant that or not, I guess you'd have to ask him because he kind of backtracked a little bit on that. But anyway, that whole situation is very toxic. It's a situation where Dexter Fowler apparently is not a fan of Mike Matheny and has gotten to the point where they really don't talk much or at all. You're adding another element into that mix when you move Jose Martinez out there. I have trouble believing that all three of those guys are going to be out there and still in this kind of rotational mix beyond the next few weeks.
Yeah, it feels to me like this is building to what will be a fairly dramatic conclusion one way or the other. Because you're right, the Dexter Fowler situation as a whole is just so bizarre. And, you know, my natural instinct is to defend Dexter Fowler because I don't think any front office should be making those kinds of comments about a particular player publicly. You know, I know there was some backlash to that and people were saying, well, what if it's true? And if he's thinking it, we want transparency from the... There's a difference in transparency and crossing a line. And to me, that crossed a line, whether it's what he intended to say or not, whether he... And that's the thing. John Mozeliak doesn't say things accidentally. John Mozeliak is maybe the most deliberate man I've ever known in a public setting to say exactly what he wants you to hear, whether it's the question you asked or not. So he doesn't, he didn't just trip up and say something that he got caught off guard by. Take that for what you will, whatever his intentions were, whatever he thought it was going to do by saying what he did. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that that was just an accident. Cause that's not how John Mozeliak ever is, with the press. So, like I said, my first reaction is to be a bit defensive in favor of Dexter Fowler because of just how out of the ordinary and I think to some degree inappropriate it was to make those comments. That said, I think to get to this point, Dexter Fowler can't be without a little bit of blame in this as well. You know, whether he was the reason for the dissonance between him and Mike Matheny, or if he just has sort of exaggerated the problem by, you know, choosing to respond in perhaps not the most professional way himself. I don't know. If you start blocking people's texts, you kind of get that you get what you're going to get from that reaction.
Blocking your boss's texts.
Right. Yes, right. Now, full disclosure, if my boss sent group texts every morning, I would also start blocking them. But nonetheless, you know, I think there's probably a better way to have handled that. However, you know, for all I know, Dex did try to handle it differently and Mike Matheny shut it down, or vice versa. I don't know. There's so much about that interaction that we just don't know that it's really hard to make a judgment call about, how it should have been handled or what should have been done. But I think it's very safe to say this is not it. whatever should have happened, whatever should have been said or done, I don't think this is it. But, you know, we've talked before about how this clubhouse has seemed to lack a certain amount of chemistry for a long time now. And every season they try to do something to fix it. And still it seems to be a fairly toxic environment for the guys who are kind of on the outside. Whatever the inside looks like, for the ones who aren't in it, it seems to turn not great pretty quickly. So you know, I don't know. I don't know what you do with that situation completely removed from baseball, because it's become a national story. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about branding? this is not good for the brand. If you're the ownership, or the management of the St. Louis Cardinals. Because look, Dexter Fowler's not going to be around forever, whether they find a way to move him this year or not. And you're going to need some other guys to come to St. Louis and want to play for this city and want to play for this ownership and want to play for this manager, if you're not interested in making any changes there. So they've got to find a way to clean this up, in a way that, is good for all parties involved, if that's possible. If not, you know, it's not going to be easy to move Dexter Fowler. But I think it can be done if the Cardinals are willing to sort of cut their losses. We've seen them not willing to do that very often, and yet we've not seen a situation like this very often either, especially if you're looking at adding Jose Martinez to that outfield mix. Now, I think that if the Cardinals are going to try to make a trade that makes them better this year, Martinez is likely in that conversation. But I think that the verdict is pretty much in on his liability as a defensive player. So they better be talking to American League teams if they're trying to move that piece. So I don't know. There's a lot at play and there are so many moving parts. And then you throw Harrison Bader in the mix, he's just out there trying to do his thing. I don't get the feeling that he's the type to, you know, pick sides or get all riled up by this, but, I know that he wants to be out there playing every day just as much as any of those other guys do. So, you know, it's a weird situation. I'm sure he probably feels a little bit like the monkey in the middle at this point, and he's going to run out there and play every chance they call his name. But it can't be particularly comfortable for him in the clubhouse right now either.
No, I do think that Bader maybe has a ceiling of a fourth outfielder. He's a very good fourth outfielder, but still, you know, do you want him out there every day? That's still to be determined. But for right now, he's the best of a bad group, I would think, because he brings the offense and he brings the defense. And we saw it today. We saw him a diving catch, but then he gets on with a hit by pitch and steals second and scores on a base hit. I mean, it was, you know, like one inning encapsulated why you want Harrison Bader on this team. But, you know, the Dexter situation is just, you know, some of this has some roots back even, I think it was winter warm-up this year, or maybe it was somewhere last year, where we got that story of Dexter's, you know, last one there, first one gone, that kind of thing. That became a little bit of a story at one point in time. You know, there was some comments from the Rockies general manager after they traded Dexter that kind of came out back out this week. So, yeah, I agree with you completely. Mo should not have said that. Mo intentionally did say that. I listened to that interview with Danny Mac, and he could have easily stopped with the idea that Dexter needs to play better. But he brought up the fact that people bring him that idea that Dexter's not playing hard, and he didn't bring it up to shoot it down. He brought it up to say, well, maybe so.
He brought it up to say, and I can't defend that.
Yeah. I was like, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it wasn't right. I get maybe that Mo didn't think it was quite as bad as it was, and maybe he was going at it in a different way, but it's just, you gotta know that, you know, especially somebody like him knows how those comments are going to be taken. And it's not like, you know, Mo's got a pretty good pull at Fox Sports Midwest and with Danny Mac, I'm sure that if he said something like that and then he realized what it was, you know, they'd have done another take. We'd never heard this. So it definitely didn't sink into Mo that this was going to be a problem until it was a problem, which is a little bit strange given this front office. But, you know, everything's been strange with the whole team for the last 5 years. And so it's very, very weird to see that we're talking about this kind of situation. And of course, it also gives Cub fans that whole ammunition thing, right, that we don't really need to, I mean, go away. We're not talking to you about how you're using Jason Hayward, so you just go away. That's kind of my feeling on things.
Yeah.
But then again, I want Cub fans to go away quite much all the time.
Sure.
So the Cardinals, again, they sit right now at 46 and 43. They have 5 games between now and the All-Star break. 2 against the White Sox, who they have already, did they split with the White Sox earlier in the year?
I believe so.
I think they did. And then they got 3 with the Reds. But this Reds team is not the same Reds team that the Cardinals have been beating up on all year long. This Reds team, they've still got some of those things because Cubs came back to beat them a couple times this weekend, but they're playing much better than they were. If the Cardinals need to go 1-4 to be a 500 team at the break, I think they can do that. But they're not going to be much over 500 at the All-Star break, which is kind of late this year. I mean, we're at 89 games already, so we're going to be at 94 games. That's kind of a late break. Yeah, I know we've talked about it. It's so difficult for me to think that this is anything more than that. And hopefully they'll prove me wrong, because I've been wrong lots of times. But that just doesn't feel like that's where we're going to be at. But the Cardinals do have one representative going to Washington for the All-Star game. That would be pitcher Miles Michaelis, with the possibility of Matt Carpenter joining him if he can win the final vote. As you put it, that seems kind of unlikely because most of his fans, his own home fans, don't seem to like him much, which is crazy given the fact that I think Matt Carpenter's hitting like 600 over the last month and a half or something. So I'm like, I mean, I don't know the numbers, but I'm pretty sure it's basically right there. You know, something like that. It seems very weird, and I know this happens. But it just still feels weird when the Cardinals only get one representative. Partially because we're used to Yachty kind of going. Possibly because for years, you know, we had Ozzie Smith, you know, locked in, and then you got maybe another one or two here and there. It's just a little, and I'm a little bit surprised they didn't take Jordan Hicks just for the, hey, can he throw 107 in the All-Star, you know, just how excited can he get? I guess that's somewhat telling as well, that there's only the one representative most likely for the Cardinals going to the All-Star game.
I think it's a huge sort of description, if you will, of the Cardinals right now. They just don't have that guy. Now, I think Matt Carpenter has made a case as of late. I think Yadier Molina, had he not missed that month with injury, would have been pretty much a lock if he had maintained the pace that he's on at this point. It's a little bit crazy to me that as early as All-Star voting starts, suddenly people aren't willing to consider the late bloomers like Matt Carpenter in their equally small sample size as some of the guys that get those early fan votes because of their start to the year. But it is strange to see. And this isn't to take anything away from Miles Michaelis, because we can talk about how great he's been when we're, you know, to that point if you want. But it is a little strange to not only just see one All-Star for the Cardinals, but for that one guy to not be Matt Carpenter, not be Tommy Pham, not be Yadier Molina, not be Carlos Martinez, not be any of those guys that on paper should be their All-Stars. And I think that's very telling as well, because you've seen so much underperformance from the guys that you expected to carry the team. Not that Yadier Molina is one of them. But you know, you would have liked to think that Marcell Ozuna would at least be a candidate for the All-Star game. You would like to think that that there would be, well, I guess if Paul DeJong hadn't missed as much time with injury, not that he was on an All-Star pace, but you'd like to think that those are the kinds of guys, those are the names you're going to see as options for the All-Star game, and they're just not. And while I think that you can make the case for Matt Carpenter to get the final vote nod, I also think you can make the case for him to not. It's not like I'm going to necessarily die on that hill, because there just hasn't been anyone else that has made enough of an impression that I feel like, oh, okay, this is a guy that really needs to go to the All-Star game because he deserves the credit for the season that he's put together thus far. Miles Mikolas absolutely does, and like I said, we can talk about that in and of itself, but just as a whole, I think it should be a little bit of a reality check for the Cardinals. Well, again, back to the front office, to look at this team and say, okay, you know, we keep claiming that we're going to be competitive for this division, but we don't have all-stars. And, you know, that doesn't mean everything because it's ultimately a popularity contest when you have fans involved, but, you know, to some degree, you gotta make the ballot, right?
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, you're right. There are guys that you could see being all-stars in some year. Here and there pop up, but maybe Carlos Martinez is about the only guy you could see being consistently an all-star. I mean, going forward. And so that does tell you something, I think. Miles Mikolas, yeah, he's been pretty good. It's fun every once in a while to think back to all those people that just could not believe that they had signed Miles Mikolas after the fact that he had like two bad spring training innings that were just terrible, and this was just a ridiculous thing by Mo. What were they thinking? Somehow, and this is crazy, but two spring training innings don't actually tell you a whole story.
Weird.
I mean,
I always draw my season-long conclusions based on the first two spring training starts. No, I think it's really one of the more impressive stories of the season. I think if the Cardinals were better as a whole, Miles Mikolas would be getting a lot more attention for it because, you know, we talk often about these guys that go off to Japan and continue their careers there. We don't always talk about the way that they come back to the States to play Major League Baseball and are better than when they left. And that's not to say that it doesn't happen. It's just, you know, it's rare for a reason. So it's been really fun to watch Mikolas use what he learned in Japan and then adapt it to his approach as a Major League Baseball player, and still be able to do it so well. I feel like he's different than what a lot of these, you know, more proficient starting pitchers are these days, where they throw really hard or they have, you know, one or two really good pitches. Because he mixes it up with like, what, five different pitches and really keeps hitters off balance in a unique way. And he has the control and the command that allows him to do that. So he's been really fun to watch. His story has been really fun to follow. And I was not super enthused about the Miles Mikolas signing. I figured he'd be fine, maybe like a four or a five starter. I certainly didn't anticipate that he would be the best of the Cardinal starters up to the All-Star break.
No, which also, I mean, as great as Miles Mikolas has been, also tells you that they're a 500 team, I think, to some degree, too.
Yes.
You know, I mean, because that's the problem. The starting pitcher was supposed to be, you know, Carlos Martinez was supposed to be your ace, and Michael Walker was supposed to be great, and we hope for Adam Wainwright and all this other stuff. But Miles Mikolas has been, yeah, you know, 100% better than any of us thought, and it was obviously that this is a significant boon for the front office and what their analytical style and how they look at approaching things and how they can adjust, translate things from like the Japanese leagues and stuff. It's obviously that they know what they're doing there, or at least they feel like they do. They got this one right, and hopefully we'll see if, and you know, you could say they also got some 1-0 right, even though O scuffled a bit his second time around. And that's the other thing that we're going to have to wait on Mikolas, because so many people do have one good year, and we'll see what he does next year. But so far, I mean, it's been incredible, and it's very, very good to see. And it is one of the highlights in a season that continues to be murky. And so we cling on to whatever we can get, I think, at this time. So, like I said, Cardinals have one more week, then they have the All-Star break next week. Tara and I will not be with you here, but we will be having a roundtable All-Star panel with a number of other podcasters. So we'll have some links out for that. But until then, that's Tara. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.